This is Juno Afternoon. I'm Rhonda McBride, and Gunashish for being here with us today. This weekend, we have an opportunity to see traditional Native games, an event which has struggled under pandemic constraints for the last 2 years. But this year, it's back to more of what it normally is, and you can go and watch these games at Thunder Mountain High School in person this weekend. The traditional games are a great experience to see young people test themselves for strength and endurance, a chance to be inspired. About a dozen teams are expected to come to Juneau for the games from across Southeast Alaska, with about 145 athletes taking part in 10 different events, which is sponsored by the Central Council of Tlingit and Haida. I spoke with Kyle Worrell about the games, and he's been involved with them for about the last 5 years and has many insights about their history in this region and their roots in the Arctic. First of all, let's talk a little bit about the history of the traditional games, because these games are not indigenous to Southeast Alaska. And maybe you could tell us a little bit about what some of the games are and why you think it's a good fit.
So many of the games draw their origin from the Arctic, and they draw their origins specifically from the Inuit and Inupiaq people from northern Alaska, northern Canada, Greenland, and even across the Bering Strait in Tkorkka. And the games are based on a subsistence lifestyle. So many of the games incorporate hunting techniques or survival skills, and they test skills of strength, endurance, focus, balance, agility, all things that were important to excel in hunting and to be able to live a healthy life. And I think that really resonates with all of our indigenous cultures, since we all lived off the land. And so a lot of our Native youth here in Southeast really connect with these games because they are about Native identity, living off the land. It's always such a fun experience that when we bring our teams together at our events, it's not so much a competition, but a celebration of our culture. And so we pull in dance, we pull in language, we pull in food, we pull in our cultural values. So I think it's really positive for our youth here in Southeast.
Well, one of the things that I've noticed in watching some of the games is it really isn't a competition between people, that people are competing with themselves for their best effort and their competitors are coaching. I would imagine that that kind of ethic appeals to the Tlingit culture and Southeast cultures.
Yeah, I think that's something really unique about this sport that separates it from a lot of other major Western sports where it might be cutthroat competitive and you have to reach this mark to make the team. Our games are based in our cultural values, and working together to succeed is number one. So it's so awesome. I recommend anybody, if you've never been to a Native Youth Olympics event or a traditional games event, to come out and watch the athletes and really watch them on the floor, how they talk to each other, how they interact, because you'll see something you're probably not going to see in any other sport. They're giving each other advice. They're cheering each other on no matter what team. Coaches from other teams will come up to an athlete, and if they happen to have advice and they're in proximity to each other, they'll share that advice. So it's a very encouraging, positive atmosphere. Everybody is striving for their personal best. They're not trying to measure up to the person next to them. And so it just changes the mindset. And that's what's really unique about the sport. And I think it draws in so many people.
So what are your favorite sports in this competition?
I've been in the game for 14 years and I love them all. But if I had to pick at this moment, I would say the knuckle hop and the 2-foot high kick.
Okay, so describe the knuckle hop to me.
So the knuckle hop is based on a hunting technique to sneak up to seals laying out on the ice. So this is a traditional Inupiaq or Inuit game. And usually like the spring months, when the sun returns to the Arctic, the seals will lay out on the ice floes. And back before rifles, the hunters used harpoons. And so they needed a technique to get up close to that seal without scaring it off. And by walking up to it, it would probably scare the seal off. And so they developed a technique to mimic the motion of a seal hopping on ice. And they would move like a seal, and then they would dress in seal skin. And then they could even steam bathe beforehand and then use like seal oil on their body. So removing their human scent, that seal scent on them. And so that would be enough to trick the seal and allow the hunter to slowly approach and get close enough to the seal. And so if you're ever to watch this game, what it looks like is somebody is in a push-up position and they're on their knuckles. And the object of the game is to hop on your knuckles and your toes as far as you can in continuous, constant movement. And so it's a game of endurance as well as pain endurance. Our games are done on hardwood floor. And so you'll sometimes see athletes break open skin, bleed, even as bad as leaving a trail of blood as their fists kind of wear away on that hardwood floor. So it's such a challenging game, not only physically, but mentally. But that's part of why we love our games, is that they're meant to challenge us. So I love that challenge. Another thing that's really important to me about the knuckle hop is my dad is still an Arctic Winter Games world record holder for the knuckle hop. And he set his record in 1988. And so I'm still trying to reach that record. I'm not quite there, but it gives me a great challenge and something where I can keep this tradition alive in my family.
And I imagine that that's important to all the participants, is that they've got a family record. This has been going on long enough that they know what their brothers did, what their uncles did, and their aunties, because women are involved in this sport as well, right?
Yep. There's men's division, women's division. There's different age groups.
So what are some of the popular sports, the crowd pleasers, besides the knuckle hop?
I would definitely say the high kicks. There's the 1 foot high kick, the 2 foot high kick, the Alaskan high kick. And a lot of our games had practical uses to them as well. And so the 1 foot high kick is a game where an athlete kicks a suspended sealskin target. And there's a certain technique to it where they have to jump from 2 feet, kick with 1 foot, and then land back on their kicking foot. And in a tournament setting, the ball is raised continuously higher each round. And so everybody's trying to see how high they can kick. But the story behind this game is it was actually used by hunters long ago, before radios and cell phones, as a form of sign language out on the tundra or sea ice. And a high kick would signal a successful hunt. So it was a way to communicate a successful hunt across a great distance. And it would let the people in the village know, hey, we caught something. And it can kind of usher in help to bring in whatever the hunters caught.
And although the games didn't originate here, are you seeing some real talent develop here?
Yeah, for sure. I've been coaching long enough to have some athletes from their freshman to their senior year. And definitely in the beginning, our Juno team was very new to it. We went to state in 2018, and we just learned so much from all the other athletes. And it was definitely a learning experience. But over the years, they've been really gaining experience. And we've had a few of our athletes place in virtual state NYO in past years, since it's been virtual.
And, NYO is?
Yep, NYO is short for Native Youth Olympics.
So if you could bring some games that are traditional to Southeast Alaska, what would you like to add to the competition?
So a couple games that we're looking at including in future years is, one is canoe racing. Canoeing is a really big part of Southeast. And then another one is hand games. And hand games is a traditional game that used to be played all along the Northwest coast by Indigenous groups. And it can be played as a form of gambling, or it could be played in a competitive setting, but it is traditional to many different Northwest coast cultures.
When can we see some of the preliminary events? Are they available to see here in Southeast Alaska?
So we have an event coming up this weekend. It's called the 2022 Traditional Games, and it'll be at Thunder Mountain High School. And it's that Saturday and Sunday, April 2nd and April 3rd. And it is open to the public, and you can go to traditionalgames.sealaskaheritage.org to see the schedule. We have a full day of events, so about 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. we have most of our preliminary events, and then at 6 p.m. in the evening time, we have our finals. And I recommend coming out at any of those times and checking out the events and watching the athletes, cheering them on. Sunday, we are at Thunder Mountain High School from 9 to 4.
So how far do you think Southeast Alaska can go with this?
we've slowly been growing over the years. And I would mention too that our history with the games, it didn't start 5 years ago. There's always been games in Southeast, and there's been many different people that have led different programs around the games. And to mention a few of them, Colleen and Lyle James have been doing Native games at the university at UAS for probably over a decade. And then our elementary schools here in Juneau have been doing Native Youth Olympics in their PE classes. So there's always been different programs in Juneau that go further back than this specific event. But I think it's all finally coming together. All of our programs from elementary to high school to middle school to college level are all finally coming together right now. And I hope it continues to grow. I hope we see greater participation at all levels from elementary to university. One of the challenges that we have is coaches, having enough coaches. So we've been doing coach training, build up our capacity of having practices at all of our schools because we need coaches. And our traditional games event, we've been growing that, trying to bring in more athletes from across the region. And so Juneau has done really well with Native games and growing it. And a lot of our Native communities, neighboring communities, have seen the growth in popularity around this sport and have started their own teams as well. And so we're going to see teams this weekend coming from Heidelberg, Metlakatla, Haines, Skagway, and Hoonah. And I hope someday every single Southeast village, town, city has their own Native Youth Olympics team. I hope they all have coaches and a healthy program. So I don't see any, I guess, end to where Native games can grow. I think it can continue to grow and provide opportunities for our youth all across the region.
Now, you've done this for how many years now?
I've been an athlete for 14 years. I've been a coach for about 6 years.
And so what do you see come out of this?
A lot of the reason why I participate in this sport is the experience and the opportunities it gave me growing up and being able to provide those opportunities for youth today. And so I started these games in high school. I started as a 17-year-old, and I wish I started younger. I just didn't have a lot of confidence in high school, and joining something that I wasn't familiar with kind of was, it was hard for me to get out of my shell. And so that's something where the games have really supported me in giving me confidence, encouraging me to stay in shape, connecting me with my community and also my Native identity. I remember attending practice and feeling like this was a place where being Native was validated and that our language was important and talked about and our culture was shared openly. And it wasn't an experience that I was totally used to in the public high school system in Anchorage where I was at the time. And so I'm hoping as a coach today that I'm able to provide those same experiences for youth. And I coach here in the Juneau School District. So I'm hoping that these youth through the games can build their own self-confidence, can strive for their own healthy goals, connect with their Native identity.
And do you find that as young people get involved in these sports, that they grow stronger physically, mentally, emotionally? I mean, do you actually see evidence of that as you work with kids over the years?
Yes, that is really the goal of the games is self-improvement. The games are meant to challenge you physically. They're meant to challenge you mentally. And they take practice, they take time. In the very beginning, when you start out one of these games, they can be challenging. And so for sure, that's something that all of our athletes that have taken part in our games have seen growth, both physical and mental. And also that sense of community, I think, is something that's always highlighted in the games as well. And when we talk about the games, that always comes up, I think, almost like number one is, why do you do Native games? It's because that healthy community that you feel like you're connected with others.
And that was Kyle Worrell with the Central Council of Tlingit and Haida, coach and coordinator for the 2020 Traditional Games, this weekend at Thunder Mountain High School.